Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We want to really evaluate our lives and ask, are we involved in anything that in any way, shape, or form is connected to the spiritual world? This is a very practical teaching. We want to evaluate ourselves and not be connected to any of those things because we are in Christ. We are on the other side. We're on the winning side. We're with the side that has, you know, two times the angels as evil spirits because a third of them fell, and we have two times them on our side.
Staying close to Jesus, knowing His Word, and spending time in prayer are all essential to effective spiritual warfare. We also need to make sure we are not giving any place to the enemy in our daily lives. With valuable, practical wisdom on being effective and victorious in spiritual warfare, here's part two of our teaching out of Acts 19, 11 through 20 with Robert Furrow of Calvary, Tucson.
The Bible says, don't give a place to the devil. The Bible says, we are not unaware of his schemes. He is scheming against you. You can give a place to the devil in your life, and it happens periodically. It's unusual, but it happens. And I'll give you an experience from my own life. So when I was 15 years old, maybe even 16 years old, I was hanging out with a couple of friends who were at the Methodist Church, the youth group that I was at when I'd gotten saved. I was already saved at this point. And we found a Ouija board. I don't know in whose closet. But we began using the Ouija board together. Now, at the same time, I felt a dark presence coming into my room at night. So I finally called a buddy of mine who was at Oral Roberts University and told him about it. And he said to me, first of all, get rid of the Ouija board, because what you're doing is you're using it to make contact with the spiritual realm, and you're opening yourself up to these evil spirits that are out there. Number two, you're a Christian and Christ is in you, so call on the name of Jesus when you feel this dark presence, because demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And so when I felt that dark presence a few days later, I just, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I just started saying the name of Jesus. And the darkness left. Now, it also can happen another way. When the Bible says don't give place to the enemy, it says don't steal anymore. So if you're doing things like stealing or coveting or bearing false witness, I think this gives place to the enemy. That's the context of that. When it says, we are not unaware of the schemes of the enemy, he says, he's talking about forgiveness. And then he says that we're forgiving and I forgive and you should forgive because we know the schemes of the enemy. In other words, if you are unforgiving, then the enemy has a scheme to give you a root of bitterness, which the Bible says will take out many people. You have to forgive. I'm not talking about people that did little things to you. I'm talking about people that did the worst things to you ever. You have to let them go. It doesn't mean you have to be restored. Doesn't mean you got to call them up and say hi. Doesn't mean you got to tell them you forgave them. It just means you let it go. When someone sins against you, you tally a debt up for them. They owe me. They hurt me. I hate them. So you're paying them back for the debt. But when you let them go, there's a freedom in that. I even feel it as I talk about it. I think you could too. If you think about letting that person go, they don't owe me anything. I forgive them. You know what you're being like when you do that? You're being like Christ, who forgave the people who was crucifying him. You literally are being like your Lord when you say, I let it go. I forgive them, so that you don't have that root of bitterness. So these are ways that the enemies can get something in your life. Now, why in Ephesus was there so much of this spiritual activity? The ruins in Ephesus are amazing. You can go to Turkey. You can go to a Footsteps of Paul tour. You'll go to Corinth. You'll go to Athens. You'll go to Ephesus. Now, you may go to a few other stops. You may go to Thessalonica and Philippi. They're further up and the ruins are less impressive. But the ruins in Ephesus are amazing. You've got the Library of Ephesus that if you take time to look it up, you could even look it up now if you want to on your phone. Just don't let me see you. There's not many of you in here I'll be able to tell. Can't hide in the crowd in here now. So there's the Library of Ephesus, which is amazing. There's a theater that holds 25,000 people that they've excavated. There are large parts of the city that are just small houses over and over and over again. It's a big city. And then there's a wealthy part of the city. They're big houses with a lot of room, and wealthy people lived there. And only a part of that has been uncovered. There's more wealthy houses that are there. So this was a very wealthy, influential city. Now, Paul is there teaching in the school of Tyrannus. We know from the last study we did that the gospel is going all around modern-day Turkey, or what is called Asia in that day, and it's being effective, and people are getting saved in Ephesus. But listen to what it says about those who are getting saved. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. So when they believed, they came confessing their sins to one another, when they believed. Then it says, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books, or scrolls literally, and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. In today's money, that would be $5 million. And that was probably 5 years ago, so because of inflation, it's $10 million that it's worth. It's worth more now than it was when that article was written, I'll tell you that. So what was happening? These people, probably the wealthier people, had purchased scrolls that told them how to do dark arts, how to cast spells on people, how to curse people, how to find a blessing in their own life from the spiritual realm. In the Bible and in the ancient world, divining, necromancy, which is calling up the dead, seances today, our necromancy, you're calling up the dead, fortune telling. Remember the girl that followed Paul in Philippi? She was telling people's fortune. So today we'd be talking about palm readers and tarot cards. They're all connected. Divining, which is divining in a certain way to have a spirit speak to you, like a Ouija board. Remember, Joseph had a diviner's plate that he hid in Benjamin's pack when they went away. And then when he sent his men, they found it. And then when they came back to Joseph, Joseph said to his brothers, didn't you know a man like me would be a diviner? He was lying to him the whole time. He wasn't a diviner, but he put a divining plate in the bag. These things are all over the Bible. So I looked up an article that I just was doing some research on what kind of magic do they use. When you read magic here, you're not thinking of Penn and Teller or Chris Angel or David Blaine. All right? These guys are doing tricks, and all of them are tricks. Even David Blaine, who will stick a pin or a needle through his tongue or a needle through his arm, he's learned how to control pain to be able to do that. It's not something I would want to do. But I can do a few magic tricks. I've got a few magic tricks I can do. You want me to do one for you? I didn't think so. No, you don't want me to. When I was growing up, I would go to the magic store down by my house, and I would buy magic tricks, and I would come back and do them, and I would do them for my family. And I did one for my grandkids the other day, and they weren't that impressed. I don't know why they weren't impressed. It's pretty impressive. But they weren't that impressed. When I was growing up, I wanted to be either a weatherman, a magician, or a pastor. I don't know what that says about me, but it's probably not good. But the magic here is dark arts. It's connecting with evil spirits to tell fortunes, to get information, to be directed and guided. In the pagan world, they would do dark arts to get connected with the world. They worshiped creation instead of the creator. And so they would do things to connect with them. Very much like the New Age today, they would use talismans, like people use crystals today, to connect with the vibrations. I just feel better when I wear my crystal around my neck because I think the vibrations of the world are bringing me in. Those kind of things. Now, let me read you what I found in this article, and I'll give you this article when I'm done here. But let me just read you what I wrote down, kind of my consensus of this article. They were giving themselves over to the learning of magic. That's dark arts. In the Bible, magic was strictly forbidden. This dark art is strictly forbidden because you, as a believer, whether you are of Israel or the church, are in Christ, and we're not to be messing around with evil spirits, which is described and included as telling people's fortunes. So palm reading, tarot cards, and other things. In Jamaica, they'll have people spit on things, or they'll use blood that is moved around to be able to tell people's future. Calling up the dead, which is called necromancy, which I said earlier, but is a seance today, where they call up the dead to speak to you, and people go to seances to be able to connect with people who have died from them. And a lot of these are obviously fake, right? They're pretending when they do that. A lot of these don't make a real spiritual connection. You're not calling up anyone who is dead, but you may very well be involved in that spiritual world when you do that. And as a Christian, we're not to be involved in any of this. Wearing charms, like crystals to help you with the vibration of the earth, divination, which is the plate that Joseph had by which he could divine from the spiritual world what to do, or a Ouija board is divination. That's what we were doing when we were using the Ouija board. We were trying to divine, to figure out what's happening in the world through the spirits we were communicating with by the Ouija board. So divination, doing readings from the stars, astrology, horoscopes, even the sign you're born under. Well, I'm a Cancer. Oh, I knew you were that way because you're a Cancer. Yeah. Even that kind of stuff is things that we as Christians should not be involved in. Yoga. Now, I don't have a problem with yoga. Stretching is a good thing. And so learning the poses in yoga, I don't have a problem with it. I probably should do it because I'm getting stiffer and stiffer the older I get. Probably would be good by doing a little bit of yoga. But when they tie in the spiritual experiences to it, that's the problem. And sometimes the yoga places will do that. They'll start connecting it to spiritual things. You can go and do the yoga without doing that, but just don't get involved in those things. And when they want to have an Om class to teach you what the Om is, then you just go, no, not Om and with you. I'm going to no, not do that. Same thing with martial arts. A lot of times people will be like, don't be involved in karate or whatever. And jujitsu is a lot better than karate anyway. Sorry if you're a karate person, but jujitsu will take down a karate dude easily. I'm nothing in jujitsu. I just wish I was. But I could punch a dog-faced demon in the mouth. Depending on what, dojo you go to, they may tie in more of the Middle Eastern kind of religion and some of these kind of things, these mystical kind of things. Just stay away from those. Stay away from the mystical stuff because we have a very New Age world. It's moving more and more New Age. A few years ago, we were hanging out and just doing something for someone's party, and there was a gal there who was part of the New Age movement, and she said, we're going to go outside, and I can't remember what she called the event, but we're going to go outside and we're going to have this event. Would you like to go? And I said, sure. I was just curious, what are you going to do? So I can't remember what she called it. I wish I could, but she called it something, and maybe some of you guys that have been involved in the New Age before in the past, hopefully not anymore, but in the past, would know what she's doing. But she gets together, and she starts off by saying, we're going to each get up and share how we're connecting ourselves to the universe and the world around us and creation, and how we're learning to get connected with the vibrations of the world. And at these things, I have the spirit of the coyote show up often, or the spirit of the owl. And what she meant by that was a coyote or an owl show up. That's what she meant by that. The spirit of the coyote, the spirit of the owl. So she stands up and says whatever she says, the kind of hoopily goopily New Age, which sounds like nonsense when you're listening to it. It's like this nonsense statement. And then the next person stands up and says something. The next person stands up and says something. Next person stands up and says something. Then it's my turn. So I stand up and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would touch these people's hearts. Let them know you died for them and love them and care for them. And I prayed for them. So I came in all stealth-like. And then after I was done, the next person didn't get up for a long time. They were like, I don't know what to do with this because he wasn't supposed to do that. That's not what he was supposed to do. So I'm saying be directed by that. I don't think I sinned by going in all like a spy in there. I don't think there was a sin. I came in for the very purpose of why I came in to do that. I'm not trying to tell you what you should do or not do, but don't be involved in anything that's included in these dark arts. And that includes horoscopes. Now, I don't know about fortune cookies, all right? They're kind of like a little weird thing. Last fortune cookie that I got, when I opened it up, it said, help, I'm being held captive in a Chinese cookie factory. I didn't know what to do with that. What am I going to do with that? I took that from the Big Bang Theory, by the way. It's a joke that one of the kids say in the Big Bang Theory. That's why it's so bad. It's not my joke. Someone else's. But we don't want to get involved in them. Some people will say, well, what about things like Harry Potter? Are people connecting to the spiritual world with Harry Potter? I don't think so for this reason. Because Harry Potter is a fantasy world in where wizards and warlocks and moguls do not exist like they do in that fantasy world. Like Chronicles of Narnia, written by C.S. Lewis, that has magic in it, but it's a fantasy world. Like Lord of the Rings by Tolkien, who is a Christian who wrote it as well. And by the way, J.K. Rowling is a Christian who wrote it. And she wrote Harry Potter as a savior person to tell the story of Christ. If you remember, there are prophecies about Harry, about one who would come and destroy him who was never named. And so I don't think that we're getting involved by reading Harry Potter, we're going to have Roger show up at your window so you can punch him. I don't think that's going to happen. However, we want to really evaluate our lives and ask, are we involved in anything that in any way, shape, or form is connected to the spiritual world? This is a very practical teaching. We want to evaluate ourselves and not be connected to any of those things because we are in Christ. We are on the other side. We're on the winning side. We're with the side that has, two times the angels as evil spirits because a third of them fell, and we have two times them on our side, and we will stand strong with him. Now, taking notes, and you want to know the article that I got that information from about what the dark arts were in their day, and it talks about biblical verses that tie them in. So here's the article. I'm going to give it to you slow so you can write it down. www.biblestudytools.com-dictionary-magic. I'm so obnoxious, aren't I? www.biblestudytools.com/dictionary/magic. Give it some time, and you can go to YouTube, and in the description of this teaching on Calvary Tucson with Robert Furrow, we'll have this link there. You can click on it. It will take you to the article, and you can read the article that I got that information from about magic here in what we're seeing here in this day. So they were opening themselves up to these demonic spirits, and we don't want to do that. Now, three things in closing. Number one, God works in unusual ways. As a definition, this would be rare. You can't put God in a box. You can't say God can't do that, because God can do whatever he wants as long as it is righteous and good and loving. God will do that. And God can do strange things if he wants to do them. And God has done strange things in history. And because they're strange, like I said, many pastors go, oh, it's not what was happening there. It's strange. Well, it's unusual. And I'm sorry, but you can't tell God what to do. God's not up in heaven going, I'd like to do that, but Robert won't let me. That doesn't happen. Number two, the power and protection over dark and evil spirits comes from Christ and your relationship with him and not giving a place to the enemy and knowing his schemes and being sober and vigilant, because the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You can have confidence that you're okay in Christ, but there's a balance. You remain vigilant. You don't let something in your life that can give the enemy an opportunity to get a foothold. Finally, get rid of anything in your life that is part of this dark magic. Horoscopes, readings, magical jewelry, charms, anything that you think keeps you safe from spiritual things. If you're taking your fortune cookie serious, then don't do it. If it's a little joke to you, then go ahead and read it. But if you're taking it serious, you really think like there's a fortune there, huh, I wanna open this cookie and see what's gonna happen to me. Somebody opens their cookie and it's red, you're gonna be a millionaire. I wanted that cookie, I wanted that fortune. Just get rid of anything that you're really thinking is giving you some direction from the spiritual realm, unless it's from God. Scriptures, what God would say to you. Turn away from those things. And if you've been involved in the New Age movement, you may struggle with what I'm saying today, because you may have been involved in tarot card reading or in reading palms or in some other kind of a dark magic of seances or something. I run into plenty of people periodically who have been, and that might be you. Then really take seriously what I'm talking about, because it really is a warning that you should not be involved in it. Even though you may be an expert in it or good at it or whatever it is, as a Christian, you're not to be a tarot card reader. Even though you might have that in the past, that's something you give up for Christ. That's something you lay down for him when it comes to all these spiritual things. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for this passage that has unusual things in it. And what unusual things? People burning scrolls that told them how to do dark arts or magic, connect with the spiritual world. Men being beaten up when they're trying to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus and in the name of Paul. Unusual miracles with sweatbands and aprons. But Lord, we know that you are at work. And we know that you don't always do things the same way. And you do things differently with us. And Lord, I pray that we would beat our chest and cry out to you, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm sorry, forgive me. Help me to be the man, the woman that you want me to be. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ if you never have. You don't become a Christian by osmosis. You don't become a Christian just because you start going to church. You don't become a Christian because you were born into a Christian family. You have to receive Christ yourself. You have been given a free will. You can live for or love the world, or you can live for and love God. You can be committed to Him, or you can be committed to the world. Just know, because God's given you a choice. He doesn't want to make you love Him. You have the right to say, I want you in my life. But if you've never given your life to Him, you have to be born again. And you do this by inviting Christ in. And when you invite Christ in, then you are no longer part of this world. We are not worldly, we are now Christians. And if you say, I don't want to do that, I'm going to live for the world. You certainly can, that's your choice. No one can make you, no one can force you. God's not going to force you, I can't force you. But know that the wrath of God is still on you. And the Bible says you will still be judged. And that those who are in Christ are given eternal life, and those who aren't have eternal punishment. That's the reality of saying, I don't want Christ. I don't want to follow after Him. In contrast, when you come to the Lord, there's a time of refreshing, the Bible says, that comes from the presence of God as He restores you, works in your spirit, empowers you for Him. If you want to give your life to Christ today, you want to invite Him in, the Bible says as many as receive Him, He gives the right to become the children of God, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just raise your hand. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. I'm done living for myself. I'm done living for this world. I'm ready to live for you. God bless you. Up in the balcony. It's wonderful. Anyone else? I'm ready to live for you, Christ. God bless you, ma'am. By the aisle. That's awesome. Anyone else? God's drawing you. Now, you don't have to respond to the drawing. When He's drawing you, you could say no. But if He's drawing you, then respond to Him today by saying, I want Christ in my life. I'm ready to live for Him. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. And if you're online watching, you don't have to raise your hand, but you can pray this prayer and invite Christ into your life now. And you're not going to invite Him in, He's not going to come in. If you want Him in your life, you're going to pray and He's going to come into your life. So I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to pray this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from You. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite You into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for You as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.